Abe Proctor and Joe Uris host the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. At 9, it's alternative radio. Gideon Levy, Israeli journalist and author of The Punishment of Gaza, reports on the never-ending occupation of Palestine. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Stage and Studio, D. May Roberts speaks with members of Passin' Art, a theater company, about their upcoming production of Black Nativity. And at 11:30, it's Art Focus with host Andre Middleton. Thanks, KABU members, for your ongoing support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and click on Donate. There are a number of culture clubs at the Oregon State Penitentiary in Salem, Oregon. KABU host Karen James spoke to members of the Uhuru Sasa Culture Club at their youth panel that invites youth to dialogue with the prisoners in hope that they can learn from the poor choices prisoners have made and regret.
KABU News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
I'm here at the Oregon State Penitentiary with Jamie Henderson and Harold Jones from the Uhuru Sasa Culture Club. Harold, what is the Uhuru Sasa Culture Club here at OSP?
The Uhuru Sasa Cultural Club, which stands for Freedom Now in Swahili, was established in 1968. It was put here to develop our members culturally, vocationally, and educationally. We're just here pushing for positive change, for social change. We believe in the restorative justice principles, and we actually need outside support as much as we can get. We ask everybody to get involved with our movement and help us change and help us keep pushing for change.
And the Uhuru Sasa Club holds annual events here at the prison, and you have programs. And one of the programs is the Young World Youth Panel. Jamie Henderson, you're the vice president of the Uhuru Sasa Culture Club, as well as the co-facilitator of the youth panel. Talk about the youth panel here at OSP.
Well, the Young World Youth Panel basically is made up of men that want to give back by trying to help the kids so they don't continue down the path that they might be on or continue down the path that we were on at one time in our lives. The kids will come in and they get to hear our stories. It's just a personal testimony of us about how we have messed up in our lives and how our consequences have not only affected us, it has affected our family and our community.
Are these youth already in trouble? Are they headed down the wrong path?
The kids are not in trouble. The kids may display signs to their parents or to their teacher or to their principal that, you know, they getting in trouble, whether it might be bad grades or hanging with the wrong crowd. And for whatever reason, the parent, the teacher, or the principal sees that and they want to kind of deter that, which deterring that will have them come in, sit down, and hear our stories that we are men that messed up. And hopefully, you know, hearing our stories about us messing up in our lives, that they won't make the same mistakes that we have made.
Is it a scared straight type of program?
No, we're far from a scared straight program. We are a program that the men that are there, we care. We realize that we cannot yell at these kids to get these kids to understand us, but we try to talk and we try to relate and try to connect to the kids in a very, what I say, a passionate way. You know, it may sound funny as inmate saying passion, but that's how we try to work. We try to connect with the kids in a passionate way that, you know, we have messed up and we are truly sorry for messing up. We try to talk to them to let them know that, you know, our mistakes have a nice ripple effect that has affected a lot of people, not just one day, not just 2 days, but years after we have messed up, you know, in a 30-second period, years later, people are still feeling that. So we just try to convey that to them in just the most caring and the most passionate way that we can.
Harold Jones is with us, and he is also a co-facilitator of the Young World Youth Panel. Harold, explain exactly what happens. The youth enter the prison here at OSP to meet with the prisoners.
The youth come in with their adult chaperones. We greet them when they come in. They usually sit down. We usually give them the cue cards and the curriculum and the questionnaire for the day. And we use that questionnaire as kind of to prompt them to talk about the things that are going on with themselves. So we usually have adult in custody speakers, at least three of those, that will get up and speak on how the different topics may have affected them in their lives or how that topic may have helped them get to where they are today. One of the things I talked about at the last panel with education and goal setting was I asked the adults in custody, you know, how many of them thought they were going to go to college. And maybe two of them raised their hand out of eight. And I asked how many adults in custody are in college right now. And every one of us raised our hands because we were all taking college classes. And so just things of that sort where the youth can see that, you know, now we're trying to change. But had, you know, we made that decision a long time ago, we may have avoided a lot of the pitfalls and turns that led us here. So after we speak in the big groups, then we break into small groups. And that's where a lot of the work happens. That's where a lot of the breakthrough happens, is when we get into small groups. We have a few different modules that we address with the youth. We have choices and consequences module going along with education and goal setting. And then we have a gang violence and victims impact module. We have a drugs and alcohol and abuse module. We have a peer pressure and bullying module. We have self-esteem and family values and motivation. And in each of these modules, we've had to create a curriculum for each module that we can work on with the youth that can be relevant to youth in what's going on today and in today's society. Usually every panel, we have cue cards that we set down, and we usually ask the youth to write down one positive affirmation they can take home and look at, and one goal that they can reach by the next time they come back. So different panels have different things, and we try to use all of them to break through to youth and help them out.
So Harold Jones, talk about how you recruit the youth from the community.
So what I've done is I've reached out to a lot of the inner city schools and inner city programs in the Portland area. We reached out to SCI, Self Enhancement Incorporated. Also, we reached out to Madison Youth Football, Red Storm Team. We try to target urban youth. It's our first panel. We had a parent bring her son in. So coaches, teachers, counselors, facilitators, coordinators, they're all welcome to bring youth in for this unique experience. We implore you to come and be involved. The adults are not inspired to come in, but we want them to come in. We want them to see what we're doing. You know, the adults will get to see what's going on. And I think the more adults that come and see what's going on, I think the word will spread even more. I've been told by parents, you know, we need this. We need what's going on. This is big. And a lot of people don't know about it. Why don't more people know about it?
Jamie, why don't you give the contact information to get in touch with the Uhuru Salsa Young World Youth Panel?
Well, our contact information will be the Uhuru Salsa Club, care of OSP Activities Department. The address is 2605 State Street, Salem, Oregon. The zip code is 97310. The telephone number is 503-378-2289. And our staff advisor that's in charge of us and in charge of making sure all of this happens is Miss Patrice Lance. And she will be the person that if you were to call the 503-378-2289, you will ask for Patrice Lance, or you can send her an email in care of the Uhuru Salsa Club or Young World at patrice.lance@doc.state.or.us.
Jamie, how long does the youth panel run? And how many youth can you accommodate?
All of our panels will be on a Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. The counselors, whoever bringing the youth down, they have to be here by 5:30 to check in, to go through the process. And we can accommodate from 10 to 30 youth, plus the people that's bringing them down too.
And how do you measure success?
Well, we've been running for about a year now. From the feedback that we've gotten from SCI, the positive feedback, the testimonials that we've been getting about how it helps the kids, it's been major for us. I mean, we came in this situation as adults in custody, and, you know, we really care. So if we can reach one kid, then I feel like we've done a great service, but we try to reach as many as we can.
Do they usually come more than once?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's recommended that they come more than once. We've done studies and we've done a lot of reading and research in sociology. We have been told that it works better if the youth come back and forth. So we don't want to just touch on the youth one time and then not have them come back and continue to work with us on different modules, because different modules may touch on different things. And so we want them to come in. We currently have a class that we're working with sociology students from Oregon State University. And in that class, we're getting a lot of assistance. We're getting a lot of support. We're getting a lot of feedback on our curriculums and how curriculums can hurt or how curriculums can help. And so in doing that with our professor, Ms. Michelle Enterbitson, we do a lot of positive youth development. And that's what it's about, positive youth development, reinforcement. So we're not just basing this on, we're just sitting in a room and talking. We're actually have a curriculum. We've actually studied this. We've actually took feedback and a lot of stuff from a lot of sociology papers and what the people who write about this stuff and put it in psychology books and youth development books, the stuff that they suggest, we try a lot of that stuff. So the kids come back. We want them to come at least four times. We would like for them to at least come four times so they can get a chance to run through at least four modules.
And Harold Jones, can you give an example of a time you felt youth panel made a difference?
Yeah, so as I said, we try to target urban youth, and one of our topics is victims impact, where in that case with victims impact, we don't do as much speaking, but we actually have people that have lost someone to violence come in. I believe that was a strong piece of our panel, because I believe that kids see violence everywhere. They see violence on TV, they see it on cartoons, they see it in video games and music. Everywhere they go, they see violence, but they don't always get to understand that violence is just not final. You know, when you see it on the movie, it's final, and then next you're moving on to the next scene. But when violence happens in the real world, there's a ripple effect, and it affects many people. So what we did, we contacted Kimberly Dixon, I think from Portland Enough is Enough, that deals with the mothers of people who have been murdered and whatnot. And we just wanted to bring that home for the youth. So they came and spoke, and they talked about, you know, the effects of their children being killed, how that affected them, how that affected them daily, how that put a hole in their hearts and how hard it is to continue on daily. And we did that so that the youth could kind of see that it's just not over. You get angry at somebody, you say, I want to kill that person. And then, you know, you want to beat them up. So we created empathy with these youth. We had a little girl that stood up and she had seen a violent act as a youth, and she had never told anybody. She said she was in fifth grade when she seen that happen, and you know, she got up and gave one of the mothers a hug, and they hugged it out, and we had a moment of silence. And it's just sad when we see, you know, these youth that think it's normal to see violence, to see that something violence happens, and they just think it's part of their everyday life. And you know, so she got to get that off her chest. She had been holding that in. I think she's in eighth grade now. So we get all kinds of situations and great stories, and you know, we encourage you to bring youth down, but you know, they don't have to be in trouble to come up here. They don't have to be getting in trouble to come up here. Just us talking to them sometimes just gives them an understanding that it can take a moment for me to make a mistake and be here. There's a lot of people here who lived exemplary lives until one moment, and now they're here. There's a lot of people here who may have been in college, or this is their first time coming to prison, or everybody who commits a crime doesn't have a criminal mentality when they commit the crime. Some people just make mistakes. And so, you know, you could be on the greatest path in the world and one simple mistake can happen and deter your life, and you can be right here in prison. So we want to reach out to everybody, every kid that can get this opportunity, that can learn something from us. You know, sometimes just hearing our stories can touch them. It can help them stay focusing on track and not make a small mistake or a mindless mistake. So we don't want to classify youth as bad youth or good youth. They're youth. What we want to do is identify what's important to each youth, why it's important to them, and help them learn about the choices they're making in order to meet their needs.
At the Oregon State Penitentiary with Jamie Henderson and Harold Jones from the Uhuru Sasa Culture Club. For KBOO News, I'm Karen James.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Fix-It Fair on Saturday, November 19th at 9 a.m. at Ron Russell Middle School in Portland. The Portland Fix-It Fair features exhibits and workshops from numerous community partners talking about issues such as water and energy savings, home and personal health, food and nutrition, community resources, recycling, and more. Childcare and lunch will be provided. Again, that's the Portland Fix-It Fair, Saturday, November 19th from 9 a.m. to noon at Ron Russell Middle School, 3955 Southeast 112th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening. This is Ann McDonald and Fernando Gapacin. We're second Monday Labor Radio on KBOO Portland 90.7. Labor Radio is of, by, and for the working class.
Yes, good evening. Thank you for tuning in tonight. I'm Ann McDonald, and in these trying, stressful times, we have decided to bring on a couple of guests tonight who can help guide us to resources, and especially for union members. We have Erin Byram.
Yes.
Oh, good. Program and outreach specialist for the Labor's Community Service Agency, and